speech to Fight for Lifers Philadelphia. On the move, greetings to Fight for Lifers Incorporated. Thanks to Christy Bryant, William Goldsby, and Hakeem Ali for this kind invitation. I've read, reread, and thought deeply about the questions you've raised about life without parole as a viable alternative to the death penalty. When I think about this question, I'm compelled to look at it through the illuminating lens of history and of various social and political movements that came before. What this reminds me of is the struggle over slavery in the 19th century, when people called abolitionists demanded freedom for those in bondage. They were bitterly opposed by people, reformers, who argued for gradualism and a phased emancipation. Of course, it took a war to resolve that issue, but the central point is, where would abolitionists have been if they pursued the safe, moderate, gradual course? Where would African Americans be? Lincoln said he expected slavery to last another century. That's because he was a gradualist who was pushed, forced into more radical positions by abolitionists. The moral of this little story? Fight for what you believe in. If you believe in life and freedom, why would you support this cousin of slavery? The question isn't what a guy on death row thinks about a life sentence. It is what do you think about it? Pennsylvania has the second highest lifers population in the nation. Ask any of those thousands of men and women what they think about sentences of forever. Life in Pennsylvania is a half-life on life row. It is a lifeless life. It differs from the death penalty only in degree, with time as the executioner. If you don't believe in it, don't support it. There will be gradualists among you, some who claim to be of your number, that they are just being realistic, and that they are really on your side. They are gradualists, and their gradualism really means never. Movements, especially radical and revolutionary movements, are always upsetting, always seen as ahead of their time, always disturbing. That's because they seek to shake up the status quo. I ask you, what's wrong with upsetting the status quo? Movements must upset the status quo, or they become part of the status quo. Do not allow Fight for Lifers to become a part of the status quo. Movements that organize the people around their ideas don't follow public opinion. They create public opinion, for they expand their influence. Don't compromise your deeply held beliefs on a program that isn't your own. You'll end up defeating your beliefs and objectives and winning what you really didn't want to win. Politicians aren't leaders, they're followers. They now follow the dictates of the rich and powerful few instead of the poor and plentiful. If the people who have family in these joints would unite and organize, it would be a powerful social force. Their interests would be more freedom, not more legalized slavery. We are, all of us, the grandchildren of that great fiery abolitionist, Frederick Douglass, who taught us power concedes nothing without demand. It never has, and it never will. Change will never come without struggle, without protest, without us organizing for change. Fight for Lifers is a great beginning. That said, I would be dishonest if I didn't share with you instances of when I've heard men on death row wish for life sentences. That is often more the work of the rigorous and repressive conditions on death row than the appeal of life row. One guy, Joe, was schizzing because on death row he couldn't smoke, while in population he could light up to his heart's content. As I've said, that's the fruit of repression, not the result of any intrinsic attraction to a life bid. Don't choose one repression over another. Choose life and choose freedom. I know that this is a Pennsylvania question, but sometimes it's necessary to look at the larger picture to get a true sense of the scope of the problem. Americans sentence people to life with greater frequency and with more restrictions than any other industrialized nation in the world. According to a recent comparative study of the U.S., England, Wales, and Germany, the English and Welsh systems used life sentences against 8.4% of its prisoners. Germany used it against 3.1% of its prisoners. The U.S., which is already the prison house of nations, sends 10.7% of its prisoners to life. Of that percentage, a four-quarter are doing life without parole sentences. In Europe, by contrast, the use of such sentences is exceedingly rare. In Britain, for example, there are 4,206 life prisoners, all but 23 of whom are or will be parole eligible. Norway and Portugal have recently abolished life imprisonment entirely. Slovenia has decreed a maximum sentence of 20 years, and Germany's Constitutional Court has ruled that life terms must generally include the possibility of parole. Now, I know that this ain't Europe. I say all that to say that activists here should look at international trends to help build movements here, not go backwards into more repression. Indeed, as a revolutionary, it is my duty to push you further beyond the comfortable boundaries established by the crippling status quo. Former political prisoner and now scholar activist Angela Davis has called not for less prison, but for no prisons. She's become one of the leading voices for the prison abolition movement, inspired by those brave and radical souls who peopled the original abolitionist movement. Her recent book, Is the Prison Obsolete?, makes her case quite well, I think. She critiques the growth of the prison industry and recounts the history of the original abolition movement and what lessons it holds for us today. She decries what we all know, the damning sense that prisons are an inevitable stop in life's road. She writes, "The dominant social expectation is that young Black, Latino, Native American, and Southeast Asian men, and increasingly women as well, will move naturally from the free world into prison, where it is assumed they belong. Despite the important gains of the anti-racist social movements over the last half century, racism hides from view within institutional structures, and its most reliable refuge is the prison system. History, it is said, repeats itself. And if the repression of slavery resurrects itself in this age under the cloak of prisons, then abolitionism must, too, resurrect itself from the dusty shelves of the nation's attics and closets. We need deep and broad movements to transform America from the repression of fear to the expression of hope. It begins with us all. I thank you. On the move, long live John Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.